Music. This week, I'll be looking at Messiaen's life and music with a focus on the organ. Olivier Messiaen is Composer of the Week this Monday to Friday at noon and again at 6:30 on BBC Radio 3.
9 o'clock now, and next, Ed Stoppard stars as Dirk Bogart in our drama On Three, which tonight is part of the BBC's Gay Britannia season, marking the 50th anniversary of the partial decriminalisation of homosexuality in England and Wales. Drawing on her research, the writer Sarah Woolley imagines the story behind the making of one of the most controversial films of the 1960s, the first film to properly address the taboo subject of homosexuality. Victim is introduced by Dirk Bogart's official biographer, John Coldstream.
While I was researching the life of Dirk Bogart, I came across a letter in which he described his 1961 film, Victim, as an excellent little thriller with a bit more to it than that. That bit more is the subject of Sarah Woolley's play. For me, there were four key films in Bogart's career. Doctor in the House in 1954 made him a national star, the idol of the Odeons. The Servant, directed in 1963 by Joe Losey, ensured the actor's reputation in Europe. And in 1971, Luchino Visconti's Death in Venice gave him international renown. But the one that really mattered was Victim, produced by Michael Relf and directed by Basil Dearden. It was a watershed both in Bogart's career and in the treatment of homosexuality on film. It was also a huge gamble for everyone concerned. In the decade before Victim was made, there had been a crackdown against homosexuals led by the Home Secretary, Sir David Maxwell Fyfe. He had called them exhibitionists and proselytisers, who were a danger to others, especially the young. Thousands were prosecuted, none more sensationally than Lord Montague of Bewley, none more tragically than Alan Turing. The law under which they were charged had been on the statute books since 1885, and it had become known as the Blackmailer's Charter. In 1957, Sir John Wolfenden's committee urged Parliament to decriminalise homosexual acts between consenting adults in private. But Parliament would need a lot more persuasion. So this was the climate when the screenwriter Janet Green took the producer-director team of Relf and Dearden, a story about a high-flying lawyer caught up in a blackmail ring. And the film they made together stands up to this day as a cleverly plotted little thriller, with, of course, a bit more to it than that.
Victim by Sarah Woolley.
I was a stranger in the city, out of town with the people I knew. I had that feeling of self-pity. What to do? What to do?
Turn it off! Turn it off!
It's only just started.
I can't stand it, Tote! Turn it off!
All right, calm down.
Honestly,
how on earth did you let me do it?
The record? I thought you wanted to do it.
Anyway, it's not that bad. Here, have another drink.
I sound like a twit. You have to get it stopped. And how do you propose I do that?
Well, you're my manager, you tell me.
D.
Oh, this year, this rotten, bloody year. Ever since LA, that whole grinding, unhappy experience. Ever since then, I've felt cursed.
If it had been a different film.
Hi, List. Meet my friend Schubert. He's a pal of Chopin's. I lost 2 stone and mimed that wretched piano until my fingers bled, and it was all for what? God, I've done an awful lot of junk over the years, haven't I?
Very successful, well-paid junk.
But junk all the same. All those flicks. I like a flick. A good comedy. I did so enjoy the Doctor films.
So what do you want to do? Really want to do, I mean.
Oh, God knows. Not my choice, is it? Never is. That's the problem with being an actor.
So we go to them. Find our own scripts.
What? Like with Saturday Night and Sunday Morning? Bloody rank. Mr. Bogart, I don't know how you imagine that anyone would consider making a film which begins with a 40-year-old woman inducing an abortion in a hot bath.
They're dinosaurs.
They're fools. Look at me. I'm nearly 40. I've been doing this job since I was, what, 23? I've been in 30-odd pictures, and I have never once, not once, given a great performance in a great film.
Oh, now, come on, that's not true.
No, it is. Oh, I've been good in some bad films.
You have?
And I've been excellent in some mediocre ones, downright rotten in some appalling ones, but I have never, not once, given a spellbinding, commanding performance in anything.
You and I have worked very hard.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Look, no one is denying that, with your help, I have worked hard. I've been highly competent, sometimes. Occasionally interesting, often watchable, but really, honestly, I'm nothing more than a successful film star who's just made a really shit record.
Yeah. You are popular, highly paid, and constantly in work. That's something that most actors would give their eye teeth for.
But I want more, because I can be more. Surely you, of all people, understand that. Look at this film I'm committed to next. I'm playing a Mexican bandit.
So what about going back on stage?
Oh, please, are you even listening to me?
If you want to feel stretched...
You know as well as I do that the audience come to see the film star, not the play. Every entrance and exit greeted by, "We love you, Dirk!" And don't even get me started on those wretched people who hang around the stage door. If I'm going to reach the top, find satisfaction, it has to be in the cinema. The camera excites me. I love the concentration, even though it makes me sick with exhaustion. But I need one day to be able to say, ah, that's it. That's what I meant it to be.
So what do you want me to do?
Get me out of the rank contract. That would be a start.
Well, that's easier said than done. But if that's what you want, I'll talk to Freddy. It ought to come from him. But think of what you'll lose. 40,000 a year. Besides, you've only got 2 more years to wait and then you're free.
And in that time, anything could happen. There's another generation of directors coming up who need to be convinced that I'm more than just a pretty face. If I don't catch the trolley soon, I'm for it. All I want is to be challenged, to feel like it means something. Because under all the glitter and the gloss, I'm ashamed.
Is this really about the work?
Of course. Are you even listening to
Because what I... when you say that word, ashamed.
Oh, look, enough of this now. It's late. I'm pissed. Just call the record company in the morning, please. First thing, just try to get it stopped.
I'll do everything I can. You know I will.
Will you switch off in here before you go up?
Sure.
Janet!
Basil!
Janet, darling, how are you?
Bloody freezing.
Oh, you trying to get up to the office?
Yes, I've been standing outside for 10 minutes. I was about to give up and go and have a browse in Turnbull and Asser.
There must be nobody on the desk. Here, I'll let you in. You here to see Michael?
Well, I assumed I was seeing you both.
Really?
Yes. Had you forgotten?
I'm afraid I've totally lost track of the days.
Are you very busy?
I'm editing League of Gentlemen and starting on the new one.
What's it called?
The new one? Man in the Moon.
Who's in it?
Kenneth Moore. Just seen him, actually. We're due to shoot in the spring, once we sort the script out.
What's it about?
Space, science. It's a romantic comedy.
Huh. That sounds novel. Gosh, is this new office on the top floor?
Afraid so. And the lift is out.
Are you enjoying your newfound freedom?
Since we went independent?
Yes.
Well, there's more scope to do what we want, but then there's also more responsibilities.
Like getting the lift fixed.
Exactly. And I've just moved house. My whole life is in boxes.
Where have you moved to?
Lovely place in Amersham. We bought it from Dirk Bogart.
He's a friend of yours, isn't he?
Sort of. I've known him for years. I met him when I was a young director working in the theatre. And, of course, he was in The Blue Lamp.
Of course he was. He was in Cast a Dark Shadow, too.
I'd forgotten about that. He was the gigolo.
What's his house like? I imagine it's terribly grand.
It is. But Melissa heard on the grapevine he wanted to sell, and she'd admired it for a long time, so it was a done deal.
You must be doing all right, if you can afford Dirk Bogard's house. Was it terribly expensive?
He got the full asking price.
Lucky him.
But look, what about you? I heard it's all go since we finished Sapphire.
It's non-stop. Both John and I have been very busy.
And how is your husband?
He sends his love.
He hasn't come to London with you?
No, he can't.
Tax?
Yes.
You both still enjoying France?
We love it. Paris suits us.
Right, here we go.
Thank God for that.
I see. No one on the desk. Is it lunchtime? Michael! Michael!
In here.
Come on, let's go into his office. He's got the fire on.
Janet!
Michael!
Let's take your coat. How are you?
She couldn't get in. She's been standing outside, freezing to death.
Oh, sorry, I was on the phone. Do sit down. Can I get you a drink?
I'd love one. I've just conquered those stairs.
Oh, dear, is the lift still out? Scotch?
Yes, please.
Where is everyone?
Pinewood office. Drink, Baz?
Better not.
Here you go. How did the chat go with Kenneth Moore?
I need to talk to you about that.
Really?
Do you need me for this meeting?
Well, that's why you're here, isn't it?
It would appear that Basil has completely forgotten that he was seeing me today.
I promise you, Janet, it's not personal.
We won't be long, Baz, I promise. Janet's here to discuss a new idea.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's something John and I have been working on for a while, and finally, we think we've got something for you. There you go, Michael.
Thank you.
As promised.
This is the synopsis.
For Boy Barrett.
Boy Barrett?
That's the title.
Not exactly jumping out at me. What's it about?
It's about a QC. He's married, but he's a homosexual.
So it's a film about homosexuality?
It's also a film about secrets, love, and blackmail.
Blimey. Homosexuality and blackmail. You don't shy away from controversial topics, do you, Janet?
I am the author of Sapphire.
So you've done race relations, now it's homosexuality.
Do you know the Wolfenden Report?
I know the gist of it.
Well, I've read all of it. One of its recommendations was that homosexual acts between consenting adults in private should no longer be a criminal offence. While the law continues to say that such behaviour is illegal, it makes these men vulnerable to entrapment.
And that's where the blackmail bit comes in, doesn't it?
A large percentage of blackmail cases involve homosexuals, and I think the public know very little about it. In fact, I think they're rather ill-informed about homosexuality in general. They know only one point of view, the bigoted one. I think it's up to us, as filmmakers, to challenge that view. Especially you, Basil.
Me?
You and Michael have built your reputation on tackling difficult subjects.
Oh, not always.
True, but in my opinion, it's what you're best at. Wolfenden said the law should be changed. Parliament is refusing even to debate it. It's a national scandal, and I want to do something about it.
Do you know any homosexuals, Janet?
Of course I do. Although the people I know are very discreet.
I'm just wondering if this is really your area. I mean, you're a middle-aged married woman.
I am a writer, Basil, who has just had a hit film.
Directed by me.
And very well, too, I might say. Mm-hmm. But John and I have been working on this Boy Barrett idea for quite a while now. We've read every textbook we could get our hands on, talked to doctors, social workers. There's a man we used to meet every weekend in the pub where we had our cottage when we lived in England. He had lots of stories. And I'm not scratching around for work here. You're not the only producers I'm meeting while I'm in London. If you and Michael aren't keen, I can take the idea somewhere else, preferably to someone who has an office on the ground floor.
Now, Janet, come on. Basil and I would love to work with you again, wouldn't we, Baz? And you said it yourself. It sounds very much up our street. Leave the synopsis. I'll read it, then I'll talk to the censor.
Before I've written a script?
I'm afraid so. With something like this, I have to do it that way round. A script is going to be expensive.
Sure.
And since the success of Sapphire, that agent of yours will drive a hard bargain. And I can't afford to spend money if Trevelyan says it's not a goer.
Mm. When will you see him?
Trevelyan, as soon as possible. I'll take him to dinner. He's a very decent fellow.
Well, I've never met him, but he didn't give me too much of a rough ride over Sapphire.
Homosexuality, though, that's something quite different.
Let me talk to him and see what he has to say.
Well, if you need me to provide any background on Wolfenden, then... Basil, are you looking at your watch?
Sorry.
Janet, why don't I finish up here and meet you across the road for lunch? Then we can have a longer conversation. I know you hate it if things feel rushed.
I know that.
I'll be 10 minutes.
Right you are. Basil, good luck with the space comedy moon thing. I'll see you soon.
Goodbye, Janet. Love to John.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Nice save.
Did you really forget we were meeting her today?
I did. Although I'm always nervous around Janet. When she gets a bee in her bonnet, she can be pretty scary. And a film about homosexuality, that sounds downright dangerous to me.
Really, I like it.
Well, you try casting it.
Well, you think we'd run into trouble?
Mark my words, no one will want to play a queer.
But if that's what Janet wants to do, then we ought to trust her. She has a real knack of writing about these controversial topics in a commercial way, and we need to keep her sweet. She's a hot ticket these days. Everyone wants to work with her. She's a bloody good writer, is Janet.
You don't need to tell me.
What's wrong?
Man in the Moon.
Problems?
It's the script. Kenneth had some reservations about it, and, well, I share them.
It's not perfect, I know.
Science, it just isn't funny. And the whole thing just feels so old-fashioned.
We can fix it, though, can't we?
We'll have to.
Now there are three steps to heaven.
Mr. Ralph, Mr. Trevelyan, how are you?
Very well, Mike.
I have spent the morning watching a film about juvenile delinquents, and I'll spend the afternoon watching a film about juvenile delinquents. The Americans are obsessed with them at the moment. How are you? I saw a very nice write-up for Sapphire in the Evening Standard. Has it done well?
It's gone into profit.
Well, you must be pleased about that.
Sapphire was a rank production.
Ah.
But Basil and I are busy with three new projects of our own.
As allied?
Yes.
How's that working out?
It's a struggle financially, but Basil and I have the artistic freedom to make the films we want, within reason.
Ah, the voice of reason being me.
Yeah?
Well... Are you ready to order, sir?
Give us a couple of minutes, but we'll have a drink, though, John.
Oh, I don't mind. Whatever you're having.
Gin and tonic?
Why not? Very good, sir. And could I have an ashtray?
Of course. Thank you. I don't know if you remember, but the writer of Sapphire was Janet Green.
Well, of course I remember. Janet and I communicated during the process of that script, and before that, she had dealings with my predecessor.
No.
She was a clever woman.
Tough, too. Nothing scares Janet.
Mm-hmm. What's she up to?
Well, she's working on a new idea for us. Mm. It's about a QC, a man named Carr. Carr is married, but he's secretly homosexual.
Go on.
He begins a chaste relationship with a boy.
Yes, when you say a boy...
A young man.
Not a teenager.
No, gosh, no. No, he's called Jack Barrett. He's being blackmailed. Mm. Someone has photographed him and Carr.
The QC?
Yes, in a car together. Now, in the photograph, Barrett is crying with Carr's arm around him. Barrett has stolen money, you see, from his employers to pay the blackmailers off so he can get the photograph back. But the police pick him up for the theft.
Your ashtray, sir. Thank you.
The police suspect he's being blackmailed, and knowing it will only be a matter of time before he is forced to go into the details of the scheme and reveal his relationship with Carr, Barrett hangs himself in a police cell.
Oh, dear.
Carr is then visited by the police. He learns about what happened to Barrett and, at great risk to himself, takes on the blackmailers. He eventually admits to his wife that he had feelings for Barrett, ends with him potentially running the risk of ruining his career, reputation and marriage by exposing the blackmailers in court.
Well, it sounds interesting, but homosexuality...
It's a thriller about a topic that Janet is very passionate about. She feels that the current law regarding homosexual behaviour is wrong. Morality aside, she thinks it's bad law. And I think most intelligent men and women would agree with her.
Your drinks.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to order, sir, or shall I give you...
2 minutes, thanks.
Very good, sir.
Look, Michael, we have no rules at the BBFC. We try to assess what we believe are public attitudes at any one time and then work off those.
What about the Montague case? There's no doubt the public felt a great deal of sympathy for Peter Wildblood and the others.
You think so?
The crowds cheered those three young men on their way to prison. The papers were all over the injustice of the law. It's what led to the Wolfenden report.
I don't think you've been reading the same newspapers as me, Michael. I think you'll find there was very little support for Mr. Wildblood in the News of the World. The evil in our midst and all that.
All right, but on the whole, I believe opinions regarding homosexuality are changing.
You're an artist, Michael. You would say that. The artist is often in advance of public attitude.
There was a letter in favour of changing the law in the Times. It was signed by Clem Ackley, Bertrand Russell, Freddie Eyre, Bishop.
Freddie Eyre? Oh, really, Michael? You'll have to do better than that. Of course, people like Bertrand Russell and Freddie Eyre think the law should be changed. They are notorious left-leaning upper-class liberals. I have to consider the views of the wider general public. We've recently been dealing with two scripts about Oscar Wilde,
uh-huh.
So I'm very much aware of the true nature of public feeling when it comes to homosexuality. Until it becomes a subject that can be mentioned without offence, it will be banned. You know me, Michael. I'm a libertarian. I care very much about the kind of films people like you and Basil and Janet Green want to make. I know you have taste. But there was a poll taken in a newspaper not long after that letter you were talking about was published. The poll wasn't in the Times, though. It was in the Daily Mirror. Over half of the newspaper's readers were against a change in the law. You know, a third of the adults in Britain read the Daily Mirror.
Yes, but the Daily Mirror told their readers they were wrong, and it continues to campaign for the law to be changed.
Well, I see you've done your research.
I thought I ought to come prepared.
but public opinion is still very divided on homosexuality, and it may be that the majority will be opposed to a compassionate treatment of the subject on film. At the BBFC, we try to act as a mirror to the public. Sometimes we push public opinion on, but only very occasionally. You have to remember that the portrayal by Burgess and MacLean is still fresh in many people's minds, and they will forever be remembered as queer. Plus Wolfenden. It's a mirage.
How so?
The government only commissioned it in order to dampen down the press hysteria, especially after the Montague business. You watch, Wolfenden won't make a blind bit of difference.
But there must be families up and down the country from all kinds of backgrounds who have sons, uncles, brothers who are homosexual and live a kind of a half-life. Terrified that should they be caught by the police, they'll go to jail and their lives will be ruined forever. 100 men a year are sent to prison. People have killed themselves over the shame.
Is there a script?
Not yet. I wanted to talk to you first, see how the land lies. I have a synopsis I could send you.
All right, do that. But I'll have to hand it to another examiner to read.
Must you?
Well, it's only fair, and it means I can't be accused of favouritism.
Shall we order?
I think I'm going to have the fish.
Me too.
Waiter?
Has it got a title, by the way, this potential film of yours?
Yes, it's called Boy Barrett.
Boy Barrett. I consider changing that for starters.
Go get an ambulance.
Oh.
Don't be a silly boy. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Good night, Daddy. Hold my hand.
What on earth do you make of that?
Well, it's not the script I read. I thought it was supposed to be a film about mental illness.
Did he have to film the women as well as kill them?
I think that was the point, Dorothy.
If you intend to pass it, it's going to need extensive cuts and an X certificate.
Not the red shoes, is it?
Sadly, no.
Oh, Lord, this could cause us no end of trouble. Talking of which, have you had a chance to look at that new Dearden and Relf project? They submitted a synopsis last week, thing called Boy Barrett.
Oh, yes. I've seen it, all right.
Thoughts?
Honestly, it worried me, John.
Oh, I thought you might say that. What's it like?
It's a sympathetic, perceptive story, but do you know what it's about?
It's about a QC who's being blackmailed?
Because he's a homosexual.
What's the worst of it?
Well, For a start, everyone in it is a queer.
Oh, really? Everyone?
Everyone, apart from the QC's wife. Oh, don't get me wrong, it's a good story, and I like the QC. Carr, I think his name is, but... Well, the whole thing feels rather sordid. I imagine for a lot of cinema-goers, homosexuality is outside their direct experience. I know the arts are full of queers, but in everyday life, I think it's something that a lot of people, the majority of people, in fact, will find disgusting.
Do you find it disgusting, Dorothy?
Janet Green is the writer on this project, isn't she?
She is.
Have you met her?
No.
I think this is before your time, but she was the author of Cast a Dark Shadow.
I don't remember it.
It was an adaptation of one of her plays. It wasn't a very nice film. Horrible, really. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was a character in that who was an estate agent. He was clearly a queer. I'd say Janet Green's rather drawn to them.
Well, they can be very amusing.
Queers?
Yeah.
Look, you can't tell much from a synopsis. I mean, you can tell a bit, but if they can focus on Carr, make it about him, keep the homosexual relationships in the background, then it's not a complete no-no.
Well, we passed those two Oscar Wilde scripts.
True, but we've yet to see the finished films. Just look at what we've just seen here today. Peeping Tom. Oh, you said yourself the finished product bore no resemblance to the script.
Yeah, but Dearden and Ralph are not sensationalist filmmakers.
But Janet Green is.
You really think so?
Well, she likes a controversial topic. And it's my belief she'll jump on any old bandwagon. What does she know about homosexuals? You mark my words. That woman is out to shock.
Hello?
Janet, it's Michael.
Who?
Michael Ralph.
Ralph?
Ralph. Michael Ralph.
Oh, Michael, sorry, I can hardly hear you.
Look, just to say we've heard back from the censor.
Is it good news?
It is. Trevelyan was very cautious, but he's not saying that homosexuality is a complete no-go area. He sent some notes on the synopsis. I'll put a copy of his report in the post.
Well, does this mean that I can go ahead with the script?
Yes. John Davis at Rank has agreed to put the money up in exchange for distribution rights. It's £10,000.
Excellent. But I hope this doesn't mean Rank will be poking their noses in. This is an Allied production.
I need a distributor on my side, Janet. That doesn't mean studio interference, I promise.
Good.
What's important is that you deliver a workable script that takes into account everything that John Trevelyan has suggested.
Everything?
Well, within reason, of course. It's just we can't afford for this script to get rejected. How quick do you think you can knock out a draft?
Oh, I'm very busy. But this is an idea I'm really excited about. This story, it feels urgent, don't you think?
Well, you don't need to tell me. You know your Wolfenden report?
Yes.
Well, there's a story about it in today's Times.
Really? What does it say?
The House of Commons voted not to take action on the report. The law won't be repealed any time soon.
I'll have a first draft to you by the end of the month.
Excellent. Oh, and by the way, Janet, the title...
Boy Barrett.
It's a working title, isn't it?
Is it?
Well, why not? For now, anyway.
John Mills.
Shush, will you? We might hear.
I don't care. He's driving me up the bloody wall. The powers that be at Rank have cast him on purpose just to piss me off. Oh, here. Give me a hand with these trousers, will you? I look ridiculous.
Was the leather your idea?
It was.
I thought as much.
I'm beginning to regret it now. It's so unbelievably hot.
You're as camp as bloody Christmas.
That's the plan.
Oh. I hope you aren't playing silly beggars. That's a dangerous game.
I'm being my usual professional self.
You know what I mean. Sail too close to the wind and people will talk. I think your director thinks he's making a serious film here.
Does he now?
But I suspect you have other ideas.
I don't want to do this wretched film. I never wanted to do it. I'm completely miscast. Who thinks Mexican bandit? Oh, yes, Dirk Bogarde.
So this is sabotage, is it? Well?
You know Woodfall are making Saturday Night and Sunday Morning.
Woodfall?
Tony Richardson's company. They've got two films in production already. Now I hear they're making Saturday Night and Sunday Morning.
I'm sorry. I know you had your eye on that.
It'll be good as well, I bet. What did I tell you about these young directors? They know a good idea when they see it. But they won't want me. I'm a joke to them. An aging matinee idol. Any word on those discussions with Rank?
Freddy's dealing with it. He's not getting anywhere.
No, they don't take him seriously. I'm going to have to move.
Acting agent?
Yes. Can you look into it for me?
Of course. If that's what you want.
Well, I can't go on as I am, can I? Come in.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bogard. You'll need me back on set.
Really? All right. Give me 5 minutes.
Thank you.
All I want is to be in something that disturbs. Educates, illuminates. Can we take another look at that idea Joe Losey had, that novel?
Oh, not The Servant.
Yes, The Servant. That was a wonderful idea.
I promise you, no one is ever going to make that film. Not ever. Now, come on. Put your trousers back on.
Nasty, violent. Every single different type of queer is represented. It's shocking, salacious, sensationalist, and will probably give potential blackmailers ideas.
So you enjoyed the script then, did you, Dorothy?
There is a scene where a razor blade is tied to the latch of a gate by one of the blackmailers. Somebody spray paints the word bent on a garage door. The dialogue in numerous scenes is wholly unacceptable. The only saving grace is Carr.
That's the QC?
He, at least, is built up in a way that is credible and sympathetic. But if they want to get this film made and passed by us, he has to have a normal relationship with his wife.
But he's a man hiding his homosexuality, isn't he? How can he have a normal relationship with his wife?
He has homosexual impulses, but they are controlled.
So he's not a homosexual?
Yes, yes he is, but he doesn't act on his urges. He is a discreet man who makes a personal sacrifice by exposing the blackmailers. If Janet Green were to focus on that, then, well, at least it shows the essential tragedy in the lives of these people.
Dorothy, do you think most homosexuals wish they weren't homosexual?
What do you mean?
Well, do you think if they had a choice, they would want to swap places with you and me?
And be normal, you mean?
Normal? Yes, I suppose so, normal.
Well, of course. Isn't that why the clinics are so full?
No. I think the clinics are full because the law says that homosexuality is a crime.
Well, I hope your judgment is right on this one.
And if it's not?
By allowing a film of this nature, we could be making the whole situation a hell of a lot worse.
So what do you think I should do? Show the script to our new president? If there's any criticism, it would ultimately reflect on him.
You want to show this draft of this script to Herbert Morrison?
Well, when you put it like that...
I suggest you go back to Janet Green and insist she take our notes seriously. Tell her you would like to see this film as Carr's tragedy. As for the rest of it, it'll have to go.
Page 47, scene 99. The number of homosexual characters in this film should be greatly reduced. The less there is of covens of queers lurking in bars and clubs, the better. Page 62-3, scene 116. This kind of violence is not appreciated in a film of this kind. The razor blade must be cut. Page 98, scene 157. I think we might want to avoid the words painted on the garage door.
Well, I'm not changing that.
Janet, the list of notes for this script is endless. You have to take on some of his suggestions.
More than some.
I am taking them on, Basil, but those words painted on the garage door, I can't lose that. It's a crucial plot point. And as for the covens of queers, I'm trying to show the reality of these men's lives here. I want people to know about this secret community, which is only secret because of the law.
But you assured me that you'd taken into account Trevelyan's notes when he gave feedback on the synopsis.
I did, but it's the first time Trevelyan's seen the script. Better to give him things to object to now rather than later on down the line.
So this is a sort of what? Bargaining version of the script?
Do you remember the reviews for Sapphire?
Some of them. Why?
Sapphire is undoubtedly meant in earnest. Its failure, consequently, seems twice as sad, though there are doubtless many who will be impressed by the politeness of its liberal gesture.
Who the hell said that?
The Monthly Film Bulletin.
Who?
I never want to be accused of politeness ever again.
Janet, you need to stop reading your reviews.
I'm terrified you know them off by heart.
I'm a middle-aged woman. I can't afford to be thought of as polite. Do you want only the angry young men making radical films? If you don't, then you two are going to have to up your game. I want this film to be truthful and real, not well-intentioned. If I've upset the censor, then that's a good thing.
Except we need to get this script passed by Trevelyan or the film won't get made at all.
Well, maybe this approach of yours to the censor has been all wrong. Pussyfooting around him, letting him see a synopsis before I've even written a word. Do you think that's how Tony Richardson operates? How can I write in this atmosphere?
It's economics, Janet. Simple as that. And I don't know about Tony Richardson, but I'd much rather we did it this way round than face a confrontation over a finished film. I don't want my work cut to ribbons. We've no choice here. Proceed with caution or not at all.
No one on film has dealt with this subject in the way in which you are planning to do here. This is new and dangerous ground. We will be pioneers and consequently will have to tread gently.
Oh, don't patronise me, Michael. This was my idea. I'm well aware of the risks.
You need to worry less what some twit on a film magazine thinks and start again.
Excuse me? A page one rewrite?
Well, judging by these notes, I'd say it's looking that way.
Also, sorry, but the title...
What's wrong with the bloody title?
It doesn't in any way give you any idea of what the film's about.
And the word boy, it sounds off to me. We don't want people thinking Carr's a child molester.
Oh, God, no.
Why would they think that?
Well, you know, some people do have that fear about homosexuals.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I know, but we have to tread carefully, which reminds me, you can't use the name Carr.
Why?
Well, there really is a chap called Carr who's a QC. He's a former MP and he's alive and well and living in Bath.
Just change it to Farr.
Fine, fine. But if I start again, I won't have time to do another big rewrite. I'm in Switzerland for work next month and after that, Italy.
So after this, that's it?
Tweaks only.
But Janet...
It seems to have escaped your notice that I'm an extremely busy woman. John and I are turning down projects.
We are all busy, Janet. League of Gentlemen has just opened, and I'm in the middle of filming Man in the Moon. I've left my assistant in charge so I can come down here this afternoon.
Well, that's not my problem, Basil. I trust that you are able to do your job. You need to trust me to do mine.
Come on, baby! Scene one. Exterior. Sky and building site. Ragged and thin with their promise of rain to come, the clouds scud before a January wind.
What about the blackmailers?
No, the film isn't about blackmailers, it's about the blackmailees.
Well, the blackmailees doesn't work, does it?
Scene 17. Saloon bar. The Checkers pub. Day. The door swings shut behind Barrett.
How about Boy on the Scaffold?
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Why?
It sounds like a film about the hangman. And you've still got the word boy in there.
Oh, yes.
Scene 52.
So we need to take boy out of it altogether, do we?
I think that would be wise.
Scene 89. What do you want? I've found something, Mr. Farr. I know what boy was paying to keep quiet now. This.
God, I can't think of anything.
Scene 104.
It doesn't help that Janet is so difficult.
Mel's house. Night.
I think she's got worse now she's so in demand.
Maybe that baft of a sapphire has gone to her head.
And did she have to mention Tony Richardson? Those wretched young directors.
Scene 114. Lane and garage. Day. He pulls down the shutter. It has the word queer spray-painted on it.
Do you think her husband puts her up to it?
Oh, I doubt it. She seems very much her own woman. I bet he's terrified of her.
Wham! Nell's fist comes up and knocks Mandrake flat.
I've never met a writer like that.
I've never met a woman like that.
Scene 146, 149, 157, 172. Left alone, Mel crosses to the fire. Untidy, disheveled with emotion, he takes the photograph from his pocket, drops it into the fire, and... the end.
Well?
It needs one more draft.
No.
Yes.
No!
Janet, it's wonderful, but the homosexual characters, they lack...
Lack?
Depth.
Depth!
If this film is to have the impact and importance we all hope it will, then more depth is required, both in the writing and in the character.
Experiment, destroy, experiment, destroy, experiment again! That's been my experience with both of you on this subject.
These are our notes, Janet.
How dare you say that my characters lack depth? This is a well-researched...
Ah, and that's the problem. They don't feel real. There's something missing. Far, for example.
I will never forget that it was you, Basil, who suggested that Barrett's parents should feature and that he should have a harsh father and an indulgent mother.
That was just a suggestion.
If that's not a cliche of a homosexual, I don't know what is. Wait a minute. I smell a rat here. There's something going on, isn't there? There's something you aren't telling me.
There was an article in one of the trade papers.
Trade papers?
It was about Boy Barrett.
They went into some detail about the themes. John Davis saw it and...
And he wants to see the script.
Why?
He's worried about the moral values of the subject.
Oh, for God's sake, what century are we living in here?
They're concerned that Rank will renege on their agreement to distribute the film if he finds...
There is nothing wrong with this script!
I'm sorry, Janet, but there is. It's just not ready.
For John Davis or for you?
If you don't like our notes, what about giving it to a homosexual to read?
I'm sorry?
It might... Well, it's just a thought.
If you give it to a homosexual to read, it will not only be biased, it will be disastrous.
Oh, Janet, I thought you were on the
Michael,
side of it.
You told me that there would be no interference from Rank.
Did you?
The truth is, we are in a dangerous situation here. The budget for this film is £230,000. That's too high for a controversial film like this one. Every American major has turned it down because of the theme, which means, in effect, little or no US revenues. With no American potential, we are finding it difficult to raise the finance. Now, Rank will give us the end money if they like the script.
I'll be honest with you, Janet. Man in the Moon, it's done badly for us. The reviews have been, at best, mixed. It's been described as embarrassing, inept, and worst of all, home-cooked.
I've seen the reviews, Basil.
I thought that might be the case. If you are only as good as your last project, that makes me and Michael failures right now. If I were you, I'd be kicking back at us too. We could, of course, forget about a redraft. Providing there are no objections to the material, we could start filming and maybe bring off some kind of success. But with more intensive work, we could, between us, make something really special. Please, do one more draft. Make it bomb-proof, because we can't just let the angry young men make the good films, can we?
Yeah. What about the angry old women?
One more draft.
Hello, Dorothy. I'm just popping out to lunch.
That Boy Barrett script.
Yes.
It came in again this morning.
Oh, very good. Have you read it?
Yes, I have, actually.
And?
It's better.
Really?
Yes. I don't know what they've done, but it's improved. It still has issues. The word bent that was spray-painted on the garage door, for example, has been changed to queer, which is just as bad.
But apart from that?
Apart from that, you can see they've taken on our notes.
All right. Well, leave the report on my desk. Hopefully this is more like it. I will write to Janet Green in the morning. I wonder who they'll get to be in it.
There's something else I need to tell you.
What?
Remember Peeping Tom?
How could I forget?
The reviews are in.
And?
They're very bad. And there's an article in today's Times. Herbert Morrison has seen it. He wants you to telephone him at once.
Oh, no.
Jack Hawkins?
Already offered. The script went out weeks ago. Initially he said maybe, but then he said no.
Why?
Why do you think? It's no use, Baz. He was the last on the list, and he's a friend. If he doesn't want to do it...
Do you want me to drop you round the corner or right outside, Gov? Traffic's a bit heavy here.
Round the corner's fine. Whatever's easier. What about James Mason?
Tried him, but he can't make another film in England this year. Tax.
Have we really been through everyone in that 50 to 55 age group?
Anyone who has box office appeal.
Are you telling me there's no one left?
Well, no one who's willing to play a homosexual at any rate.
Just here is fine.
On the left, sir.
Yes, please. I did warn you about this, didn't I?
You did?
I said, mark my words, no one will want to play a queer. We've gone to all this trouble getting the script right, pushing Janet for redrafts, reassuring John Davis and Rank, and it'll all be for nothing if we can't cast the bloody thing. There you go. Keep the change.
Ta.
Maybe we need a new strategy.
Clearly we do.
What about if we went younger? We might have more choice then.
We can't. Farr is an eminent QC.
What if he wasn't?
A QC? Can you imagine breaking that to Janet Greene?
This is a story of a man whose marriage and career are threatened by the consequences of his homosexual impulses, right?
Yes.
Well, provided he's old enough to have a brilliant career in the law, isn't it more moving and more urgent for a youthful audience if it is a younger man in a younger marriage? You know, I've always thought it was a bit off. Far running about after a young man. I think there's a simple solution to this casting problem. Forget Far being a QC. Make him a younger barrister about to take Silk. That way, we can cast someone who's 40, not 50.
Got anyone in mind?
How old's Dirk Bogarde?
Coming up to 40?
John Davis told me that he's just got out of his rank contract. They aren't happy.
I bet.
I also heard he's changed agents. Maybe he's looking for a new direction. He'd be perfect for this, don't you think?
A little too perfect, perhaps.
What do you mean?
Well, think about it, Michael.
What?
Do I have to spell it out?
Oh! You mean he...
Well, I don't know, but at least he shares his home, his life, with another man.
Really? No. I had no idea. But then I don't know him like you do. He's a good friend of yours, isn't he?
Dirk? Wouldn't go that far. I'm not sure he has any close friends. He rather keeps himself to himself. But I've known him a long time. This chap he lives with, Tony Forward, he used to be an actor. He gave it up to become Dirk's manager.
Forward, yes, I remember him. Wasn't he married to Glynis Johns?
They have a son, too, Gareth. Sweet boy, but... Well, hence why it's all so confusing.
Maybe they're just good friends.
Maybe.
Do you think he'd say no if we offered it?
I don't know. But don't go through his agent. Let me talk to him in person.
How are you going to broach the subject if you think...
I have no idea.
I have to admit, when you telephoned, my heart sank.
Oh, no, really?
I thought you'd found something wrong with the plumbing at the house. I feared you were ringing to tell me that the central heating had blown up.
On the contrary, we're very happy, though. Melissa's spending a fortune putting in a new bathroom and planting an Italian garden where the old tennis court was. But apart from that, everything's very comfortable. How was Spain? It was Spain, wasn't it, where you were filming the bandit thing?
You mean the singer, not the song? Yes, we were in Spain.
I saw the publicity photos. Nice trousers.
Hello there. You want this? There you go. Go on, fetch.
Have you seen it yet?
The finished film? No. What, have you?
No. But my spies tell me it's a sod.
Oh, it very well could be. I've had such a bad run recently. Did you see the film about Liszt?
No. Should I?
God, no. It's a horror.
What have you got planned next?
Nothing.
Nothing? Really?
I'm no longer under contract to rank.
I heard about that.
Who told you?
John Davis mentioned it to Michael.
Oh, interesting. Word's out, then.
Yes. And I might have something for you. But you may not like it. No one else does.
I'm intrigued. What is it?
I should warn you, everyone we've offered it to so far has turned it down. You are our last chance. Mm,
thanks very much.
You'd be coming to our rescue, in fact.
So I'd be doing you a favor?
A huge one. For an old friend.
Well, come on. What is it?
You'd better brace yourself. Our first choice said he couldn't do it, as it would prejudice his chances of a knighthood.
Good grief. It's not about revolutionaries, is it?
No. It's about homosexuality. You'd be playing a middle-aged man who's in love with a bloke on a building site.
Are you allowed to make a film about that?
Rank have said they'll distribute it. The censor's seen the script, given us his thoughts, so yes, looks like we can. Providing we can cast it.
Have you got it with you, the script?
I have. It's by Janet Green.
Janet Green? She wrote Cast a Dark Shadow.
That's right.
Well, she's good, isn't she?
We think so. She's very passionate about this particular subject. She thinks the law ought to be changed. You know, that men shouldn't be prosecuted, thrown in jail for, well, being together.
So it's a campaigning film, is it?
It's a neat little thriller, but it packs a punch. At least, I think so. Will you read it?
So?
It's pretty good.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's not perfect.
Well, no.
Well, for a start, why do they all think homosexuality is an illness? And apart from Farr, all the other queers are a bit pathetic. Plus, he goes back to his wife at the end.
Well, at least he's not a figure of fun, and he's the main character here. The hero. And they actually say the word, homosexual. When have you ever seen that?
It certainly educates, illuminates, disturbs. It's what you've been looking for.
So, what do you think I should do?
I think you shouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Why?
You know why.
But this is the first time in years I've been offered something half decent. This part, in this film, at this time in my life, it could change the direction of my career forever.
It will certainly do that. You play this part, your fans will never forgive you.
And that's exactly why I should do it. I can't make another film like The Singer, Not the Song. Look at my face. Look, see? See those lines? Here and here and
yes,
here?
Yes, yes, all right, I see them.
My days of playing spaniel-eyed young doctors are over, and this part, it's a gift.
Why did Basil think of you for this?
I've known Basil for years.
You've not said anything to him, have you?
No, of course not. John Davis told Michael Ralph I'd got free of the Rank contract, and he put two and two together.
John Davis? It could be sabotage.
What do you mean?
Rank telling Michael you're available so you can take on a queer role and ruin your career forever.
No.
But you don't think they want to get back at you for leaving, though?
Well, perhaps,
look,
but they...
So far, we have managed to keep our life together here private. You have always insisted on it. If you make this film, you don't think that people will start asking questions? I haven't told you this because I didn't want to bother you with it, but I caught someone sneaking about in the garden yesterday.
A fan?
It was a man.
Did he say what he wanted?
He fled once he saw me.
It was probably nothing. A walker who took a wrong turn.
Oh, don't be absurd. You worry constantly about people coming here, bothering you, nosing around. That's why we move all the time.
That's not true.
Remind me, please. Why do you hate John Mills so much?
What?
When we were in Spain on that last film, all you did was complain about John Mills. You made the man's life a misery. Why?
What on earth has John Mills got to do
you
with
him? You hated him because he questioned my rather laissez-faire parenting of Gareth. True?
He told Glynis you had been letting Gareth drink. He had no business doing that. So what if we let him have the odd sip of wine and a puff on a cigarette? What we do in our own
home
is...
You see, you despise anyone who threatens what we have here. You hate it when anyone asks questions, pokes their nose in where it's not wanted. You make this film, and journalists will ask all kinds of leading questions. Tell us, Dirk, why were you so drawn to playing the part of a homosexual? This is a serious treatment of a topical subject. Do you think you won't be asked your opinion on the law? On homosexuality in general? It will open you up to all kinds of inquiry.
Then I'll just have to make sure I talk to the right kind of journalists.
John Gielgud.
What about him?
When he was arrested, it was on the front pages of the newspapers. This is how they treat people. People like...
No! I do not behave like that. God, can you imagine? The very idea of it. That's not me, and you know it.
And you think they care about that? You think they distinguish between one queer and the next?
Look, if I don't do this, who do you think they'll get to play the part? It'll be some macho actor camping himself up silly. Oh, Basil means well, but what does he really know? This is my chance. Our chance. To make sure it's done properly.
Seriously?
Yes, Dirk Bogarde said yes.
I don't believe it. This is... Well, it's more than I could have hoped for.
We think it'll be terrific, Janet. give a wonderfully sensitive performance.
So is this it then, Michael? Are we ready to make this film?
Don't get too excited. We still need to cast his wife.
Well, has it been a problem?
It's been a nightmare. Every actress we've approached has turned it down without even reading the script.
So what are you going to do?
Well, we've offered it to Sylvia Sims. If she says yes, Basil is all set to start at the end of the month.
So is my job here done?
Well, let's hope so. Look, there's one more thing. The title. I know you're keen on Boy Barrett, but...
We have to find something else.
I'm afraid so. Basil suggested Victim.
Victim?
Yes. What do you think?
Well, I can't say I'm keen.
Ladies and gentlemen, can we settle down now, please? Mr. Dearden would like to make a speech.
Not exactly a speech, but, thank you, Bert. So, here we all are. Day one. Now, I do usually say a few words before we start. But these words today will be a little different. This is an important project for all of us at Allied. We believe very strongly in the message of this film. That's obviously a very sensitive subject, which is why we've got a closed set, and there will be no press here. I think it's also important to set down a few ground rules. Now, I want to make it very clear that while you are here, there are to be no references to homos, poofs, queens, fags, faggots, queers, or Nancy boys.
Excuse me, Basil?
Yes, Dirk.
So... what do we call them? If we aren't allowed to call them homos, puffs, queens, fags, queers, and... what was the other one?
Nancy boys.
Yes, that's right, Nancy boys.
We ought to refer to them as inverts.
Inverts?
Yes, that's what's in the dictionary.
Inverts?
Mm.
Is it really?
It is.
Well, you learn something new every day. Don't you, everybody?
Right.
Camera running. Speed. One. Take one. And action!
Did you get Barrett?
He gave us the slip. Sorry, sir.
Toad, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How's it going?
Four, take three, and action!
It's hilarious. Basil did a big speech about not referring to anybody as a puff. I've never seen so many people look so embarrassed. He is taking it terribly seriously.
What, and you're not? I hope you are.
15, take five, and action!
Oh, you know me, ever the professional. But Basil, you'd think he was making the birth of Christ. I don't know what's got into him.
Maybe he's just being a good liberal.
36, take one. And action!
Thankfully, there's a chippy here, a big, fat, chubby boy. He came along this afternoon with his pouch on, you know, hammer and bundle of nails, cap on his head, and he bends down and one of his mates goes, "Hey, Alfie, watch your ass. Watch your ass." That broke the tension, I could tell you.
Are you all right?
Of course. I'm enjoying it, for once. I've made a graph, a character chart. I've marked the emotional journey of Far.
That's new. You've never done that before.
That's because I've never needed to. This is finally something I can get my teeth into. There's this one scene, the one where he admits to having feelings for Barrett. That's the climax. I've got to give it everything I've got.
One, two places, please.
Listen, I have to go.
Just one more thing.
I'll see you Friday. Bye.
D? I was going to say, be careful.
Stand by for rehearsal, 112.
So, you've come in the door, Dirk, and Sylvia...
Hello.
You're sitting in the chair, waiting for him. Then on this line, Dirk, make for the lamp, switch it on.
All right.
We'll pick you up on this line here. Should we just run through it from this section with the photograph?
Yes.
Fine by me.
Quiet, please, everybody, rehearsal.
Look at the picture. There's as much distress in your face as there is in his. You haven't changed. in spite of our marriage. In your inmost feelings, you're still the same. That's why you put him out of the car. You felt for him like you felt for Stainer.
That's not true.
You were attracted to that boy as a man would be to a girl.
I told you nothing happened.
But you wanted it to. That's what destroys me. Look at me, Mel. I love you. And I want to know what kind of man I love.
A man who loves you.
If you love me, what did you feel for Barrett?
You won't be content till I tell you. I put the boy outside the car because I wanted him. Now, what good has that done you?
Yeah. Basil, can I just...
Is everything all right?
About this bit.
Yes.
This... I don't think this is... I'm sorry, but we need to change it.
Oh?
This is the moment where Farr admits that he wanted Barrett, right?
Yes.
Wanted to be with him. To sleep with him.
And?
I don't think... I'm sorry, but what's written here, I don't think it goes far enough. Mm-hmm. Look, if we change my lines here to something like, Laura, Laura, don't go on, stop, mm-hmm. and then these lines here moved, right. and if I said this line twice, see that bit, I think it might have more power.
So you'd be repeating, I wanted him?
Yes, because he's being honest here, isn't he? About who he really is, what he is, a homosexual. He needs his wife to understand that. What do you think?
Well, it would be more direct, I suppose.
Well, it needs to be, doesn't it? It comes from the heart. He's finally admitting who he is, who he wants. What do you think, Sylvie?
If you think it would be better, I mean, it's
My only worry is it might be rather shocking in a frank sort of a way.
But that's right, isn't it? This moment, it should be explosive. He's revealing his true nature. We shouldn't be cautious.
Are you sure you want it to be like that?
I'd like to give it a go, yes.
Where would you like to go from?
Here.
Is that all right, Sylvia? That work for you?
Of course.
Let's take it back then, shall we?
Stand by for rehearsal.
Quiet, everybody!
You were attracted to that boy as a man would be to a girl.
Laura, Laura, don't go on. For God's sake, stop. Stop now.
I can't stop. I love you too much to stop. I thought you loved me. If you do, what did you feel for him? I have a right to know.
All right, you want to know. I shall tell you. You won't be content until you know, will you? Till you've ripped it out of me. I stopped seeing him because I wanted him. Do you understand? Because I wanted him! Now, what good has that done you? Well, Basil? What do you think?
Do it exactly like that.
Places, please. 112.
It's a cracker, Basil.
Oh, you think so?
Dirk, Sylvia, young Alan Howard, Peter McHenry, they're all remarkable. Dirk, in particular, is outstanding.
But?
That scene with Dirk and Sylvia, I wanted him.
Yes, very, very powerful, I thought.
Maybe a little too powerful.
I don't understand.
Well, the emphasis on the line. He says it twice. That's not... in the script, I know it's not.
Dirk rewrote it, but I think it's better.
Except Trevelyan's advice to Janet was that she should show that Farr had a normal relationship with his wife.
So?
So by repeating that line, giving it extra emphasis, it gives the impression that that's not the case.
What are you saying?
I'm saying it leaves nothing to the imagination. He wanted him, all right. When you were filming, did you not... notice.
I knew it was a good scene, well played, brilliantly played, in fact. I don't see the problem.
The problem is that I don't think anyone has ever said anything like that on film before. And Trevelyan never gave us any assurances, did he?
Wait a minute. You think he won't give us a certificate?
He has to.
No, he doesn't. And no censor commits themselves to any kind of certificate until he's seen the finished film. You know that. And that scene...
Well, I'm not bloody cutting it. It's the dramatic kernel of the film. It's raw. Honest. What you see up there, that is real.
But Basil...
No, it's all very well, Michael. You, me and Janet working on this with our good intentions and our research and our dictionary definitions for the homosexual. But that's the truth of it up there on the screen. You can see it. That wasn't acting. That gets to the heart. And anyone who has felt fear about who they are or about who they love, they will see that and they will say, he is me. People now understand my life. I promise you, this film will be a landmark in British cinema.
But what if no one gets to see it?
Tell them it doesn't need to be a star part and we don't care about the fee. Just get him in it. Yes, that's what he said. It's from the horse's mouth, Dennis. All right. Thank you. As soon as you can. Goodbye.
Well, what did he say?
He said he'd see what he could do, but he couldn't promise anything.
He's the most well-connected agent in London. That's why I switched. If he can't get me seen...
Maybe we could call Alec Guinness. Perhaps he could have a word.
That's not a bad idea. You think he'd talk to the producers?
If you tell him you're interested.
I'm not interested. I'm desperate. Ah, oh, has it really come to this? Begging for a supporting role in a film about a ship.
It's not the first time you've been out of work. You've had gaps before.
It's never been this long, though, has it? Do you think it has anything to do with the press reaction over Victim? It's not even opened, and they're all over it.
Right now, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Some of the papers are worried the film is going to go too far. Others are worried it won't go far enough. Hopefully, once it opens, all fears will be allayed. Then you can get back to work.
But it doesn't open for another 5 months. And besides...
What?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
No, what? Tell me.
I might have changed one or two of the lines here and there.
So?
Important lines.
What do you mean?
What I mean is that fears might not be allayed.
What are you talking about? I told you to be careful. Did I not tell you...
Toad...
What have you done?
I've made a good film. I promise.
That man was in the garden again today.
What man?
The one you said was a walker who'd lost his way. I found him rifling around in the bins.
You should report it to the police.
Come on. I'm going to telephone Alec.
Come in.
Sorry, John. Am I interrupting you?
Dorothy, no, come on in.
I wondered if I might have a quick word.
Is this about Taste of Honey?
No, it's about Victim.
Ah, yes, our old friend Boy Barrett. Better title now, don't you think?
I took the liberty of watching it this afternoon.
Oh, very good. You didn't have to.
Are you giving it a certificate?
I'm still deliberating.
An X would be appropriate, would it not?
It certainly couldn't be anything else.
No.
And it will need cutting. I don't want another Peeping Tom situation here, pulled from cinemas because of a public outcry. I doubt Michael Powell will ever work again. I got it wrong there, and a talented director will pay the price. I don't want the same for Mr. Dearden.
Do you have anything in mind?
Well, there are at least 4 scenes where the dialogue is a problem. There's one scene in particular that goes too far, the section with Mr. Bogard and his wife. Bogard says, I stopped seeing him because I wanted him. And he then repeats the line.
Yes, I noticed that.
The scene is presented quite differently from what was in the script. It oversteps the mark.
But you can't cut it.
I'm sorry?
I found that moment very moving.
Dorothy, are you all right?
Yes, I'm perfectly... I really think that scene should remain. It felt very truthful.
Forgive me... But wasn't it you who argued that Farr should have a normal relationship with his wife?
It was, yes. But I was wrong.
Well, perhaps I'll take another look.
I really think you should.
Is that all?
Yes.
Dorothy? The job we do here, it's not... There are things on that screen I wish I'd never seen. Things that sometimes shock and disturb and upset me. But I find that it's best to talk about it. My wife is a great support to me. And do you have someone you can talk to, unwind with at the end of the day?
No.
Well, if you ever need to talk to me...
I know what it's like. The man in the film, the victim. My brother, he's a... Or he was.
Dorothy?
Mr. Dearden has made a good film. He and Janet Green. They shouldn't have to compromise any further.
Hello?
Basil, it's me.
Michael.
I've had a letter from the censor. Are you sitting down?
Go on.
We got the certificate.
Oh, thank God!
It's an X.
Oh, what a relief. Any cuts?
A few, but I can negotiate.
So, is this it?
We're off, Baz.
You know, I don't mind admitting, but for a moment there, I really thought if we hadn't got a certificate...
Oh, I know.
Have you spoken to Janet?
Yes, Trevelyan said he'd write to her directly. By the way, she still doesn't like the title. She wants us to revert back to Boy Barrett.
What the hell?
It's all right. I've told her it's too late.
That woman!
We wouldn't have a film without her. So, I suppose now it's time to see if we've got an audience.
Lord, I'd forgotten about them.
You better not mention the critics, then.
Dirk Bogarde's first ex. What on earth are they going to make of that?
How's it going?
All right. It's nearly finished and no one's fallen asleep.
Well, that's something. I know it's dark, but could you tell anything from their faces?
Cheers. The man from the Telegraph looks keen, but the FT...
What about Alexander Walker?
I couldn't see him, I'm sorry. But I wouldn't expect much there.
Really?
Apparently Lord Beaverbrook forbids any mention of homosexuality in his newspaper, especially if it's sympathetic. He'd be lucky if he's even allowed to publish his review.
What about Dillis? Could you see her?
Basil?
I know.
It's not normally this bad, is it?
I've never done this before. Hung around outside a press screening. I usually do the lunch and Scarpa. I don't know what's come over me. In this business, I've always felt that you and I are the underdogs. They always looked down on us at Ealing.
Well, that's because unlike everybody else, we made things quickly, delivered on budget and to schedule.
I've always felt inferior. And now we're older, well, we're not cool, are we? We're not Tony Bloody Richardson.
Well, we're certainly not establishment.
Hardly. I'm barely educated. Oh, I know what they say about me. The critics, my peers, even the actors, they think I'm a workmanlike director who's making social problem films in order to stay relevant.
They're wrong, Basil.
Well, I really hope this film proves it.
Here they come. Are you going to say anything?
Alexander?
Mr. Dearden?
I won't ask how you found that, but I'm sure you'll agree it's been presented with tact.
And the review will be in tomorrow's newspaper.
Tomorrow? You won't wait till Friday?
Well, the paper will want to get this one out quickly, I'd have thought.
Really?
It's good to see you.
Yeah. Well, did he say anything?
If this bombs, Michael, where does it leave us?
You mean Allied?
Yes.
Well, we have other films in production.
But?
You know the answer.
What thread of strange emotion puts this successful barrister on the wrong side of the law? What crime links him with this frightened boy on a building site? And why is he so afraid? Why do some people help him, and some people turn away in disgust? What sinister shadow from the past now falls between husband and wife? What secret held these men prisoner in a tangled web of tyranny and terror? What crime links an aging hairdresser and a famous star of the theater? They are all victims. But victims of what? Dirk Bogarde stars in his riskiest role yet. From the team who brought you Sapphire, Victim, in cinemas from August the 31st.
And cut!
Well, that's lunch, everybody,
that,
thank you.
That's a good one,
man. Dirk, I'm over here.
How was that?
Chilling. The whip suits you.
I can't take Alex seriously in that wig. It looks like a tea cosy. I suppose I should just be grateful I'm even here. God, this film feels like a total flop.
Has Dennis called?
No. But I do have some news from home.
Victim?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Come on. Let's find somewhere private.
It's a thriller, and a good one. With characters which could not have been shown, and on a subject which would have excited horror and ribaldry up to a few years ago. To treat the theme as a thriller may not be particularly bold, but to treat it at all was brave.
Now look at the bit at the end.
Dirk Bogarde gives the commanding performance one has long expected of him. With a fine control of gesture and tone, he conveys both the suffering of the man condemned by nature and the resolve of the man bent on sacrifice. Oh, thank you, Dennis Powell!
It's not the only one. Look, Alexander Walker.
At last, after years of playing paper-thin parts in paperweight films, Dirk Bogarde has a role that not only shows what a brilliant actor he is, but what a courageous one he is too. Isn't this
There's
exactly...
more?
Let me see. Dirk Bogarde takes the biggest gamble of his career, and it pays off.
And this.
Dirk is triumphant. These are the best notices I've ever had.
And it's not just the British press. Apparently, you've gone down very well at the Venice Film Festival.
I don't suppose you still think I made a mistake taking on Melville Farr?
It could so easily have gone the other way.
But it didn't.
I still think your female fans are going to desert you, and you can forget about playing romantic leads again.
Are you upset that you were wrong?
There's one other thing I have to tell you.
What?
Joe Losey called. That script. The Pinter script?
The Servant? What about it?
It looks like it might be on.
No.
I told you! I told you!
You told me.
Here's to you, Janet. At last we can say finally... Here's to a job well done.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. It has been fun, hasn't it?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as...
No, I meant Venice.
Oh, yes, that's been a good bit.
I can scarcely take it in. I was here last year with John, but I certainly never thought that this year we'd be here with a film of our own.
Boy, Barrett's come a long way.
Certainly has.
I still wish you hadn't changed the title.
Oh,
Jess. What?
Are you ever going to let that one go?
There is nothing wrong with Boy Barrett.
Janet... Never change.
I don't intend to.
When do you leave for Paris?
Tomorrow morning. What about you two?
We're staying till the end of the week. Then it's back to business.
Yeah. Talking of which, John and I have been thinking we might have something for you.
Ooh, a new idea.
Yes.
What's it about?
A man who finds himself ostracized and placed on trial for allowing his daughter to die. You see, his religious beliefs forbid him from giving consent for a blood transfusion that would have saved the girl's life. I'm calling it... A matter of conscience.
Sounds good.
Sounds controversial.
Well, if you're interested, we could talk.
Well, let's fix a date when we get back.
Oh, I'm going to miss Venice.
Me too.
You know, back in London, they're queuing around the block to see our film.
Yeah. We're back in business. Up yours, angry young men!
I just have... One last hope for this film.
What's that?
Did we change the title back?
No. When John and I were researching, we were told a story. It was about a homosexual couple who lived together. One night, a drunken coach driver plowed into their car while it was parked outside their house. Before they'd even called the police, the first thing the man and his companion did was to make up the spare bed in case when the police came round, they started asking questions. Imagine having to think like that.
Imagine. Awful.
I hope this film makes a difference.
Let's drink to that.
Mr. Abzi!
I beg to move that leave be given to bring in a bill to amend the law relating to homosexuality.
Yeah. Cyril Osborne!
I am utterly opposed to the motion, and I hope the House will reject it. The basic question is this. Do we want to encourage sodomy?
Shame on you!
Order! Order! There must be less noise! Division, clear the lobby! Clear the lobby!
The ayes to the right, 159. The noes to the left, 178. The noes have it! Unlock the doors!
Clause 1. Amendment of law relating to homosexual acts in private. Earl of Arran.
My lords, I rise to move the motion standing in my name on the order paper. I have read much on this subject. So much, indeed, that at times the issues became blurred, and I no longer knew what it was all about. But in the end, having read all or most of the books and absorbed to the best of my ability all the clever arguments and counter-arguments, I found myself back where I started, and with these conclusions. That in accepting the law on homosexual practices as it now stands, we are persecuting a minority and we are being unjust. And these things, I think, are unbecoming to our country.
The question is that amendment number 2 be agreed to. Members of that opinion will say content.
Content.
Not content.
Not content.
Contents have it.
Mr. Abzi.
I beg to move that the bill be now read the third time. We have reached a stage where we can say that there is a possibility of the bill now becoming an act which is socially useful, will help make this country a little more civilized, and will help make more integrated within the community a group which has for so long been alienated and had attached to its condition an unnecessary criminal stigma.
Mr. Jenkins?
I think that the House, in considering this whole matter, will regard this bill as a civilizing measure, inasmuch as it will remove the facts of homosexuality from the area of the dirty corner, the dark cupboard, and specious speculation out into the light of day, and make it possible to look on it with acceptance, with understanding, and without the sniggering and prurience with which it has been received too often in the past.
Division! Clear the lobby! Clear the lobby!
The Earl of Arran.
My lords, I beg to move that this bill do now pass. When we first debated these affairs, and how long ago it seems, I said that your lordships had it in your power to remove fear from the hearts of men. This you have done. Because of the bill now to be enacted, perhaps a million human beings will be able to live in greater peace. I find this an awesome and marvelous thing. I ask one thing, and I ask it earnestly. I ask those who have, as it were, been in bondage, and for whom the prison doors are now open, to show their thanks by comporting themselves quietly and with dignity.
Yeah.
This is no occasion for jubilation, certainly not for celebration. Any form of ostentatious behavior, now or in the future, any form of public flaunting would be utterly distasteful and would, I believe, make the sponsors of the bill regret that they have done what they have done. Homosexuals must continue to remember that while there may be nothing bad in being a homosexual, there is certainly nothing good. Lest the opponents of the bill think that a new freedom, a new privileged class has been created, let me remind them that no amount of legislation will prevent homosexuals from being the subject of dislike and derision, or at best, of pity. We shall always, I fear, resent the odd man out. That is their burden for all time, and they must shoulder it like men, for men they are. I beg to move.
Over here. I've nearly finished.
But you should have left this till the evening. It smells rotten.
I wanted to get it out of the way before the move. Have the new owners set a date yet?
Friday of next week. That all right with you?
No, I'm fine. The sooner the better.
What are you burning?
Papers, mainly. Some letters. What time is it?
Nearly midday. Don't forget, Alexander Walker is coming to interview you over lunch.
I hadn't forgotten.
And there's some post for you. Here.
I won't look at it now. It'll just be the usual stuff.
There's something from the House of Lords.
Really?
I thought you'd be interested. Who's it from?
Arran. Earl of Arran, do you think?
Well, must be. What does it say?
I have just seen Victim for the first time on telly. And I write to say how much I admire your courage in undertaking this difficult and potentially damaging part. As you may know, I was responsible for introducing the Sexual Offences Bill, now Act, and the swing in popular opinion, as shown by the polls, from 48% to 63% in favour of reform was partly due to your two films, The Servant and Victim. Or so I believe. It is comforting to think that perhaps a million men are no longer living in fear. Well, there you go. That's very nice of him. And to write, don't you think? It was a tremendous achievement for him, getting it going in the Lords.
Wasn't he the one who said that homosexuals should show their thanks by comporting themselves quietly and with dignity?
I think he was, yes.
Mustn't get too overexcited.
At least he persisted.
Leo Apsey, too.
Is he right, do you think? Did Victim make a difference?
Maybe. But times were changing.
We did good work there, didn't we?
It's certainly Basil's best film. Shame Allied went to the war.
I'm rather proud of my contribution. It seems such a long time ago now.
8 years.
Is it really? Well, what's for lunch?
I thought I might do a salad niçoise. That all right?
Fine. Will you leave it all out?
Yes.
You won't be around, will you, when Walker's here?
No.
Good. He is a journalist, after all. Better make yourself scarce.
Do you want to keep the letter?
Why not?
Victim by Sarah Woolley, Dirk Bogard was played by Ed Stoppard, and Tony Forward by Simon Harrison. Basil Dearden was played by Jonathan Eris, and Michael Relf by Ben Miles. Janet Green was played by Fenella Woolgar, and John Trevelyan by Michael Maloney. Dorothy was played by Julie Teal, and Sylvia Sims by Sarah Ridgway. Leo Apsey was played by Simon Ludders, and The Earl of Arran and Roy Jenkins by Philip Fox. Other parts were played by Charlie Clements, David Sturzaker, Emilio Durgesing, and Tom Forrester. The score of Victim was performed by Neil Brand. The director was Abigail Le Fleming.
And if you missed last week's play in the same season, Joe Orton's Double Bill, you can find that and more on the iPlayer Radio.
Daniel Barenboim brings his Berlin Staatskapelle back to the BBC Proms. In the first of two concerts, they perform Sibelius's exhilarating violin concerto with the soloist Lisa Batyashvili. And one of the first great English symphonies, Elgar's First. Don't miss Daniel Barenboim at the BBC Proms, next Saturday at 7:30, live on BBC Radio 3.
10:30, time now for tonight's Early Music Late, presented by Simon Hayes.
Good evening, and welcome to the first of three visits we'll be making over the next few weeks to the Schwetzingen Festival in Germany. Tonight, music by some of the greatest Italian violinists of the Baroque, played by Ellen Schmidt and the Lucerum Ensemble. They start at the end of the 17th century with the charismatic Nicola Matisse, who trained in Naples and arrived in London to seek his fortune in the 1670s. He was, by all accounts, an eccentric fellow, but had a real gift for composing quirkily original music for the violin.
Thank you.